This is Anishinaabe Way, Lives, Words, and Stories of Ojibwe People. Winona LaDuke is an enrolled member of the Mississippi Band Anishinaabeg. She lives and works on the White Earth Reservation. She is the executive director of Honor the Earth, an organization that advocates for Native environmental groups and causes. She recently visited the North Shore and shared this story about growing corn in a traditional way and the need to protect heritage seed varieties.
I have this curriculum that we developed on Anishinaabe agriculture because I was really interested in what a traditional Anishinaabe economy would look like adapted into 2014. And I was interested in these issues of restoring our food economy and a broader economy from that. And a lot of the corn and a lot of the gardens that were grown by Anishinaabe people were grown on islands. I've got a micro ecosystem, right? The other thing is no predators. You know, those raccoons, AC Bunny, those guys raise heck in my garden. I don't know about your garden, but I'm like ready for the raccoon barbecue season, you know? But anyway, so I just want to mention that that is a pretty ingenious idea, growing on islands. You go up in the Lake of the Woods area, there's like 14, 15 islands. Some of those reserves up there, islands all over. So a long time ago, the Pawnee, they lived in the upper Missouri River, right where the Bakken oil field is now. And they are called Arikaras, they're related to the Arikaras. And then in their creation story, they descended from heaven. In their creation story, they descended from the sky, and when they descended from the sky, the man descended in a buffalo robe, and the woman descended in a corn husk. And the reason I tell you that is like, that's how, I mean, it's called cosmogenealogy. That this is not just food. This is a spiritual relative. That's why it's so important to not genetically engineer, because it messes our stuff up, right? Genetically engineer your relatives. So, in this case, they grow these corn varieties and they have a lot of ceremonies and they do pretty good. And then one day, the Arikaras, they split off and some of them head south and they become the Skitty Pawnees. And they live in around a place called Kearney, Nebraska. And doing pretty good. Deb Echohoff is who told me this story and said I could tell her story. And they're living down there, and then the settlers come in, and they do pretty well with the settlers. They worked it out pretty good. They said they're kind of like AAA. When their wagon wheel broke or their horse was lame, they go see the Pawnees. And you know, they shared a lot of things. Those women from the different communities, they got on pretty good with the settlers. And then the federal government came in and messed things up. The federal government forced the removal of the Pawnees, three separate removals. And in the three separate removals to Oklahoma, most of the people perished. A lot of the people perished. They got there, and this is a tragic story of America, you know, they get there to Oklahoma and they grieve the loss of their people, they grieve the loss of their land, they grieve the loss, all their loss, and then they had to grieve the loss of their corn, because none of their crops would grow. And so it was just a huge amount of trauma for this community. And so they continue there for a number of years, and their crops are dwindling down and down and down and down. Ronnie O'Brien runs the Archway Museum in Kearney, Nebraska. And she says, I have this historic museum and I would like to grow some historic Pawnee varieties of corn. They have a few seeds left. And after their deliberation, they decide to send them back to their homeland. And some of the farmers up there start to grow those varieties. And all of those varieties flourished. They flourished. And so what the Pawnees said is that the corn and the seeds remembered the land they came from. So the descendants of the settlers are growing out those varieties of the Pawnees. And a couple years ago, they had Welcome Home Pawnee Days, and 150 Pawnees came from Oklahoma on a couple of buses, and 8,000 people came up to see them. So I'm telling you that story because it's a story of redemption. And I'm telling you that story because corn is a plant that requires people. It grows only because people put their mana or their energy into it and grow it. My father used to tell me, he was an old school guy from White Earth, and he said, I know that you're a smart young woman, but I don't want to hear your philosophy if you can't do it more.
This is Anishinaabe Way, Lives, Words, and Stories of Ojibwe People, a series produced by Stacey Droulard with music by Keith Sekola. Funding for the series comes from the Minnesota Legacy Fund and WTIP Community Radio.